The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. This shiur has been dedicated by Ephraim Topiel in memory of Reb Alter Chaim Menachem ben Reb Avram, Zichroni Levracha.
Brachas Dafnu and Dalit. We have the schus, the next number of Dafim, to be Oisik in the Agadat HaSugis of Perek Haroi, the ninth Perek of Brachas. I call it a special chus, more than being oisik in the sugis of halacha. When one is oisik in agadat and one learns to look beyond the stories and the simple sayings of Chazal, or seemingly simple sayings, one is trained to be able to perceive the depth of what Chazal is teaching us. One is exposed to an incredible world of profundity, a tremendous amount of depth, of wisdom, and some of the deepest secrets of Chazal, of the universe, and all the Seudas Abriya, are revealed in some of these sugis, especially these sugis and brachas. The Rebbe of Agadat and Klal Yisrael, the Maral, who in all his svarim endeavored to teach the way of perceiving the depth behind every words of Chazal, and not just reading the Agadata Gemaras and the Mamori Chazal that deal with Agadata as simple stories and just Mesholim and little sayings, even if the sayings are full of wisdom and just pieces of history, but how every word of Chazal was measured to give a remarkable amount of insight in both into what human beings are, and what the world is, and what the Seudas Abriya is, and how the Rabban Shalom, the Darkei Hashgochan and Hogam, how the Rabban Shalom runs the world. And Bez Hashem, I'd like to try to open up some of these in Yonim in a very basic way, if you whatever time allows in these Shurim over the next few Daf. The Gemara on Omer Aleph, Daf Nun Dalet, says that Tanu Rabban Haroya Mavris Hayom, Umavis Hayardin, Mavis Nachle Arnoin, Avne Al Gebish, Bemoyud Beis Charoin, the Evan Shabikesh Lizrak Oig Melech Haboshna Yisrael, all the different things that bring to mind, that recall the Nisim that were done for Klal Yisrael in the period when they went into Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, the Braisa says, that one has to give Shevach Vaidot to the Rabban Shalom. It's remarkable that when Klal Yisrael lived in Eretz Yisrael, before they were sent down to Golis, we're living in Eretz Yisrael today, but we've lost our direct tradition of where all these places are, what all these things are. But when Klal Yisrael was able to reconnect on a constant basis with all the things that made the history and made the greatness of Klal Yisrael, they were able to constantly relive the Nisim that the Rebbe Shalom performed for Klal Yisrael. Must have been a very inspiring way of living. Alavai that we should be zeichet to these madrigals. And the Gemara tells us an interesting, again, it sounds like an incredible piece of history, a story, and the Maral opens up and it shows us the depth of what Chazal are trying to teach us, how every single word of the Agadita is laden, is heavy with meaning and allegory and depth and hashkofa. The Gemara says in Amud Beis, Evan Shebikesh Oig Melech Habosh and Lizuk Al Yisrael, Gemara Gemiri Lo. There's a tradition, Omar Oig Melech Habosh and said, Machne Yisrael Kamahave, how big is the Machne Yisrael? He said as follows, the Machne Yisrael is Tloso Parsis, three Parsis, which are Parsis 4 mil, which comes out to be 12,000 Amis. The Ishrielayu, Vaktalinu, I will destroy Klal Yisrael by putting, what did he plan on doing? Ozal Oketura Bar Tloso Parsis, Parsi. He uprooted a mountain that was close to Parsi, the size of the Machne Yisrael. The Aisi Al Reisha, and he put it on his head. The Aisi Kutcha Berichu, Oleo Kamtsi. The Rabban Shalom brought Nemolim, Rashi explains, brought ants, must have been pretty strong ants. The Nokvua, the Nochis Vitzavori, the ants were able to bore holes in this tremendous mountain, which was 12,000 amas long. It was a pretty large sized mountain. Vaise al reshe. Vaise kan shvrucho aleo kamtsi v'nokvu v'nochis b'tzavori. Have a boil in mishlevei. He wanted to pull it off. Moshchishini, his teeth got longer. Laigisa, laigisa. He grew, instead of teeth, he grew fangs. They cut into the mountain. And v'loimotzel mishlevei, he wasn't able to cut, take it off. And that's what the pasuk says. Shine rishon shibarto. The Gemara says, al tikur shibarto, ela shevavato, that they extended. Moshe kamahave, the Gemara tells us, Moshe kamahave esraham is shokul nargo. He took a branch that was 10 amas tall. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amas tall. He took shokul nargo by esraham. Shova esraham, he jumped in the air. He leaped, Rashi says, 10 amas. Umachye bekursale, and he gave oig one strike across the ankles, v'kotle killed him. Sounds incredible. Mountain, teeth, ants, jumping, 10 amas, 12 parsois. So, again, this might just be an incredible story, might be an incredible piece of history. The Maral opens up and he shows us how every word in Chazal expresses the inner depth of what was going on. Now, again, I want to make one point clear. To say that the story couldn't have happened the way it's written is a zilzul in the fact in the fact that there's a hanhoga lamala miderech hateva. The Maral always stresses that, of course, the simple meaning of Chazal is true insofar as it could be true. Chazal said that the women of Mitzrayim had 6 children, is the pshat that it was a reality that there was a tremendous lamala miderech hateva dika increase in fertility. If we deny that the nest took place, then we're denying that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam runs the world with the Anhoga, which is Lamala Midechateva, that borders on Kfira in Nisan, the Ramban tells us several times in Sefer Shmos. The point of the matter is not to deny the reality of the Nisan that are expressed in the Mamre Chazal. Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amos tall, and Oig Melech HaBoshen was tremendous, and he did uproot a mountain. All this could have happened, and all this did happen. But the point is that Chazal were specific in every word to express deeper meaning. All these events are not just Nisim, but they're mirrors. It mirrors a deeper perception of what was the struggle between Moshe and Oig. What was Oig trying to do? What was the Rebbeinu Shel Olam trying to do? What are Chazal teaching us? And the Maral, the Rashi brings Bekitzur Nimitz this Maim Chazal in Parshas Chukas, over there on the pasuk of the battle against Oig. And Rashi in Parshas Chukas, Perek Chof Aleph brings Bekitzur, the Medrash, that our Gemara quotes. Over there, the Maral has a long piece in which he describes the basics of what a Chazal are teaching us. And he says as follows. We'll just say over some of the ideas without the whole arichus, as much as time permits. The Maral explains that the battle between Oig and Moshe wasn't so. It was a battle between Oig and Klal Yisrael, but the battle between Oig and Klal Yisrael was expressed in a personal battle, which is why it was a one-on-one. It wasn't the army of Oig connected the army of Moshe Rabbeinu. Oig and Moshe Rabbeinu represent two extremes. Oig, the Maral says, represents greatness, a certain greatness. Oig was, as Chazal teach us, was min hanafilim. He was one of the giants that were of the size of the people before the Mabul. He was the last of the giants from before the Mabul. And his size was obviously represented, that greatness. And Oig was Gashmias personified. The tremendous power of what Olam Hazeh has, of what Gashmias can represent, was represented fully in Oig. The Maral explains that the reason why Chazal say, Rashi brings in Chumash also, that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalu before the Mulcham, the Rebbeinu Shalom would say, Al tiro, I will give Oig over to you. What was Moshe Rabbeinu scared of? The Rebbeinu Shalom told him, go to Mulcham, of course you're going to conquer. And the Maral explains that since Oig represented a certain greatness that was beyond description, it was a shefa of Gashmias which did not exist in the world post-Mabul. It was a darga of greatness, of beyond, that existed from a different time, from a different proportion of greatness. But that greatness was only in Gashmias. Moshe Rabbeinu represents a greatness in Ruchnias. Moshe Rabbeinu is the same out-of-proportion greatness that Oig is, except that Oig represents a shefa, a greatness, a tremendous giant in Gashmias. And Moshe Rabbeinu represents a tremendous darga, a power, a giant in Ruchnis. And Maral explains that the reason why Chazal say that he was scared, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid, and he had to be reassured by the Rabban Shem, Rashi brings that Oig had a schus, that he was the polit, that Parshas Lech Lecha came to tell Avraham Avinu about the Muhammad, that Lot was captured, Vayoveh HaPolit, he had the schus that he brought that Besura to Avraham. Maral says this is not an accident. Maral says always, Dvarim Gedolim, all things that Chazal express is part of deep ideas, every detail has meaning in the Maral's understanding of the depths of Agadah. The fact that Schus was the one that Moshe Rabbeinu was fighting against, Maral says indicative of what was going on over here. Avraham Avinu also represents, Chazal called him Ha'odim HaGodol Bo Anokim. Avraham Avinu is a giant amongst men. Avraham Avinu's intellect, his heart, his ability to reach out to others, his ability to perceive the depth of how the Rebbeinu Shem runs the world when the whole world was sunk into Avodah Zarah, into a primitive way of looking at the world, and Avraham Avinu was able to look beyond, and by himself, Ben Shalva Shikir is Boirin, he was able to turn the tide and bring the whole world literally back to the Rebbeinu Shem. HaNefesh HaShe'osu B'chon, Avraham Avinu was from a greatness, was a throwback to Adam Rishon, was from a greatness that didn't exist in the world around him. Oig was also that type of greatness. Again, as we said, it was this greatness in Gashmis, this greatness in Ruchnis. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid because there's a certain connection between Avraham Avinu and Oig, because Oig did a favor for Avraham Avinu. He served him, he brought him with that Pesura. And Oig in Be'etzen is shaykh to the world of Avraham Avinu. He's shaykh to that world, that music of greatness. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that there was some type of schus here that Oig had because of that connection to Avraham. Because of that deep identification with the greatness that was Avraham Avinu. The Rebbeinu Shalom told him, Al tiru ki biyodcha nasati, because in your hands, Moshe Rabbeinu also represents a greatness which is beyond the madrega of Bnei Doira. So he was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll add one fascinating point on this line of thought. We know that Meraglim brought back the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, and the tremendous grapes, and the tremendous fruit that were brought back from Eretz Yisrael. We don't find any place that when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, that was the size of the fruit. What happened? All of a sudden they came into Eretz Yisrael, and the nature shrunk down, and the land fit the new inhabitants of the land who were Klal Yisrael. Rav Shapshon Fall here sets on this pirush in Parshas Shlach, on those psukim, says a very, very profound idea, which fits very much with this idea of the Maral. And he explains that Eretz Yisrael, what's produced by Eretz Yisrael, is greatness. There's greatness in Gashmis, there's greatness in Ruchnias. But the point is that Eretz Yisrael produces, Eretz Yisrael is a land with an exclamation point. Mediocrity has no place. Till today it's that way. Eretz Yisrael is a land, the people of Eretz Yisrael and the land of Eretz Yisrael is a land of extremes. And Eretz Yisrael, which produces greatness, when the people there were involved, were submerged in a mindset of Gashmis, the Knanim, the Chitim, the Amorim, were emerged, was submerged in a world of Gashmis, then the greatness that Eretz Yisrael produced was Chet, was Harayis, and it was also the Peris of Eretz Yisrael were representative of the perceptions of what the people in Eretz Yisrael were busy with. As soon as Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, the produce, the national product of Eretz Yisrael, went from being great apples, oranges, pears, and plums, went to being greatness of spirit, greatness of perception, greatness of intellect. As soon as Klal Yisrael came in, the greatness no longer defined the Gashmias of Eretz Yisrael, even though Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Chem de Tevo Rechava, and we thank the Rebbeinu Shem for giving us Eretz Yisrael, and we asked the Rebbeinu Shem to give us back Eretz Yisrael, but the national product of Eretz Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael is there, is the intellect. And that's always the way it's been. Jews are the world's major stockholders in intellect and brains. Adayim Hazem. That all comes from being connected, of course, to Torah, but it also comes from being an Avir of Eretz Yisrael, which is Machkim. The same way the Avir of Eretz Yisrael produced large fruit, it produced large intellects when Klal Yisrael came in. In any case, Oig and Moshe Rabbeinu are polar opposites. One represents greatness of spirit, one represents greatness of body. One represents the gold medal in the Olympics, and one represents the pinnacle of creative genius that the world has to show, which is the Moshe Rabbeinu bringing down Torah into Klal Yisrael. Says Oig. Oig says to himself that the Machne of Klal Yisrael is three parsois long. Says the Maral, the number three always represents a, what he calls Seichel Nivdal, represents ultimate intellect. There's always, we know that there's, life is full of extremes. There's too much chesed, there's too much din. There's chesed, there's din. There could be too much chesed, there could be too much din. The balance, what the Rambam calls, the famous Rambam calls the golden mean, represents the rule of the intellect over the spirit, that nothing is out of proportion. The Maral always refers to this concept as the number three, and he says Avraham Avinu represents Chesed, Yitzchok is the perfection of Midas Adin, Yaakov Avinu, Titin Emes LeYaakov, Chesed LeAvraham, Yaakov Avinu is Emes, Emes is Torah, Emes is intellect, because Emes, the third Bechina of Yaakov Avinu, balances out the Chesed of Avram, the din of Yitzchok, balances out in the middle with Titin Emes LeYaakov. So he says when Klal Yisrael, their machten was three, that's because Klal Yisrael represents greatness of intellect, of Midas HaEmes, of Torah. And he says, if Yaakov Avinu represents that being totally disconnected from the world of Gashmiyus, represents greatness, Shleimus, of the intellect, Oig said, but I represent greatness in Gashmiyus. The greatness of Gashmiyus, when one wants to close his eyes and perceive the power that nature has to offer, the first picture that comes to mind is a towering peak, is a tall mountain. Oig picked up that mountain with his bare hands to fully immerse himself in the power of where his Shefa Aloikis, where his tremendous Lamala Miderech HaTevedika connection to Gashmiyus expressed itself. He ripped out that mountain and he said, my mountain, my greatness of Gashmiyus, my perfection of Shefa of Gashmiyus can counteract the greatness of spirit, of intellect, which represents itself in the Machna of Klal Yisrael. It's the same three. And he says, I'll put that mountain on top, and that'll obliterate Klal Yisrael, because it'll dwarf. We're living in a world of Olam Hazeh, and when tremendous power of Gashmiyus, might makes right, at least in Oig's perception, and if I put the mountain, Oig says to himself, on top of Klal Yisrael, then in Olam Hazeh, my brawn will be stronger, will have the Yad Elyona over Klal Yisrael's intellect, in the world of the spirit that Klal Yisrael represents. So he takes that mountain, says the Rav Hashem explains the Maral, Bo Kamsa, the Nemola came, the ants came, the Chazal, the Maral say, refer to Klal Yisrael as Yaakov Avinu specifically, Tela'as Yaakov. Klal Yisrael is called by David HaMelech, in other psukim, Tela'as Yaakov, a worm. Klal Yisrael ain lahem koyach ella bepeh. This is what happened. The worm ate into the mountain. Yaakov is benoi hakotan. Torah refers to Rivka. Imenu refers to Yaakov as benoi hakotan, because Yaakov represents greatness of spirit, even if he was puny in body, in physical strength, keneged Esau, who was born as a full-bodied. Physical perfection, Yaakov Avinu represents spiritual perfection. Esav was born with his hair developed. Yaakov Avinu was born mohul. He was missing in guf, but he was full in spirit. Yaakov is Tom Yeshiva Holim. And Tela'as Yaakov, that Nemola bit. Again, this might have happened, B'derech HaTeva, and this might have been what actually happened by Oig. It doesn't mean that it couldn't have happened. But the point, the depth, the profundity of what's happening is that the Nemola that's eating into the mountain is that little Nemola, which is the Tela'as Yaakov, which is Yaakov B'no HaKotan, ate into that mountain and destroyed that mountain, that it went on to the head of Oig. The perception of Oig was clouded. His Gashmiyistik strength, his focus, his extreme shefa of Gashmiyus was muted, and his teeth grew out longer. The teeth represent when a person wants to connect with something. A person wants to pick up a steak, and he wants to connect, he wants to dig into it, and make it part of himself. His teeth are what he sinks into the steak. And his teeth went into that mountain, he connected with it, he wanted to put that mountain on top, but he wasn't able to get it off his head. It totally clouded his ability to act against Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, say Chazal, who was 10 amas tall. What does it mean, 10 amas? The Maral explains that 10 represents always in math. That's the way we have it. 10 is always a unit. Repeating decimal is always 10. 1, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 10,000, 100,000, 10,000, the shlemus of a unit, and that's why the Rabban Shem created the world, basar v'malach shebein nivra olam, eser amos represent perfection. Moshe Rabbeinu represents perfection itself. Moshe Rabbeinu is a hemshech of Yaakov Avinu, Chazal tell us. Moshe Rabbeinu was Esa Amos tall because he was a sholem. He was a sholem in physicality insofar that his physicality was only a kli for his spirituality. His guf was only there to service his neshama. He was the shleimus of being in Olam Hazeh, Moshe Rabbeinu. He was 10 Amos tall. He jumped 10 Amos because the spirit of Moshe, the perfection of Moshe, is the ability to transcend, to reach darga after darga in Shleimus, which means that he jumped a full level of existence. He was able to jump 10 Amos. He took a stick that was 10 Amos, represents his reach. The matter of Moshe Rabbeinu was also 10 Amos tall. It's the same idea. That represents a shleimus in Moshe Rabbeinu. The matter b'yad Moshe represents Moshe's control, that the Rebbein Shem gave control of the Bria over to Moshe Rabbeinu. That represents the koyach to control the teva with greatness of spirit, which is inherent in a Moshe Rabbeinu. He jumped up 10 Amos. He gave a bang in his ankles. Why the ankle? Because the ankle is pure physicality. The ankle is where a person stands firmly grounded in this world. Hands are what a person uses to produce. A person could use his hands to hit a baseball or to be a boxer. He could use his hands to give tzedakah, to take a lulav, to write Chiddush HaTorah. His hands are clay maisa. Feet are the ankles, so to speak, are what grounds a person in Olam Hazeh. The ankles of Oig were the ultimate expression of being rooted, of being grounded, of being firmly entrenched in Olam Hazeh. So he hit with his shleimus, with his kfitza, with his lamala miderech hateva, with his greatness of intellect, of power of spirit, Moshe Rabbeinu gave Oig a clap on his ankles, and that was it. That was the end of Oig. So Moshe Rabbeinu, what's represented over here in Chazal, is an epic struggle between the forces of Ra and the forces of Tov. But I'll add that that's why the teeth of Oig got longer, because as we said, the teeth is biting into Olam Hazeh. We see that by the Rosh and Ibadah, we see Hakei Shinah, because that represents the depth of digging into Gashmias. The Nochosh HaKadmoini, which is the root of all Chet, is said to have bit into the Ra, the Nishikas HaNokosh, the bite of the Nokosh, which is the curse of the Nokosh and other Marishin, is the his Tapkus in Ra. So we see over here that what's going on in Chazal is not just the story, obviously. There's a tremendous level of depth and profound insight into the struggle between Klal Yisrael and the Umas HaOlam. And this is a daf after daf. We have to try as far as we're able to, not only to look at Achreinu, but try to sensitize our antennae, our spiritual antennae, to be able to read Nagantzu Gemara with a depth of perception, to hear the emes, the hashkofa tahira, which lies behind every Agantzu Gemara. It's Hashem, as the daf unfolds, we'll try to explore another few of these ideas.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the Center for Halachic Services or Consultations, or to present a Shaila, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. Or email info@thehalachacenter.org.